Okay, guys, we gotta put our trays up for takeoff.
Where's Dad?
Oh, he's in the back. We could only get three seats together.
Daddy has my pillow.
We'll get it later. Can you not put your feet up, please?
Why aren't we going?
We must be in line for takeoff.
Like security?
Well, that was a different line.
I have to go.
We just sat down.
But I have to go.
The seatbelt sign's on.
Why aren't we moving?
Hey, no kicking.
We're just 15th in line for takeoff.
Son of a...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It's time now for Bitsy and Lyons on WEEI.
Desperado. Sitting in a old Monte Carlo, a man whose heart is hollow. Take it easy. I'm not trying to go again.
I hope everybody brought their appetite because your Sunday sports brunch is officially in session. And to the good people of Boston, of New England, and any and everywhere that the sound of Boston Sports Original, WEEI, can be heard, we bring today, as heralds, we bring lots of good news. Like, yes, ladies and gentlemen, today, the Boston Celtics' pursuit of Banner 18, Gangrene 18, renews again today. And it is an excuse-free, dare I say, clear path to finally ending our interminable duck boat drought. It starts with revenge against hashtag heat culture. And also, yes, ladies and gentlemen, good news. The NFL draft is almost finally friggin' here. Only 4.5 days, or dare I say, 4 days, 8 hours, 56 minutes, and 55 seconds at last check of the big board here in the studios of WEEI. Celtics are on. You just heard it on the Sunday skate. The Bruins absolutely mulched up the Leafs last night. There you go, old Jackie Edwards. 5-1, your final. They're up 1-0. I'm feeling good about that series, and we hope you're feeling good about joining Fitzy and Lyons here on WEEI until 12:35, at which point we pass the baton over to the Red Sox pregame show for the finale of Sox versus Buccos at perhaps, dare I say, John Lyons, one of the most beautiful ballparks in America. How are you on this glorious sports Sunday, my friend?
You know, Fitzy, I love having this job, but there are certain days where I love having this job a little extra.
Mm-hmm.
This is a day like that. You're coming off that Bruins win last night, game one. They were just tremendous.
I made my kids watch the hockey game because I was like, well, Dad, there's a 2-hour hockey show before Dad's on tomorrow, but you should watch this because I got a good feeling about the Bruins. And they were so fired up. They're like, who's this Debrusque guy? I was like, oh, Jake Debrusque. He's had some issues before. He's got some authority problems. But I'll tell you otherwise, like, he's a talented kid. You get him going. So goes Debrusque. So go the Bruins boys.
Yeah, and I would agree. And then, first of all, he was terrific last night throughout the entire night. And then
three points for Debrusque in your opener?
Two goals? Yeah, exactly. And you now have Celtics today at 1 o'clock, which it's funny. This, to me, Fitzy, this is probably the most excitement around a Celtics playoff run, I think, since 2008, Really, if you think about it.
I mean, it's the best team since that team won 66 games. This team finished with 64 wins.
Right, in 2009, Garnett was hurt. 2010, they were a little older. And even to like 2012, they got to the East Finals, but they were, you know,
I can't even go back to Perk hurting his knee in Game 6 and the way the refs just gave it to them in 7.
Even entering that playoffs, they had kind of taking their foot off the gas a little bit during the regular season, resting guys. And then, of course, like the Bridge Celtics, we all loved them, but, you know, as the song goes, there was a freight train coming their way with the Cavs. And even, like, in 2022, when they went to the finals, entering that playoffs, they had only had a good half season. Remember, they were 500 in January.
But it was
that
the second half of the season.
Right.
They had built the right kind of momentum heading into the playoffs that year, as their defensive metrics were off the charts.
Yeah, but now they had an elite entire season coming off an overhaul of their roster with Porzingis, with Holiday. To me, this is, I think, the most excitement for a Celtics playoff run since they won the championship in 2008.
And I think everybody can agree within the sound of our voice. And if you would like to join the program at any point between now and 12:35, give us a shout. Holler at your boys, Fitzy and Lyons. We're 617-779-7937. Of course, producer extraordinaire Nico will be monitoring the text line at 37937. He'll also be answering your phone calls today. And the socials are always a great way to keep in touch with all your sports talking pals at WEEI. We are at WEEI. I'm at Fitzy GFY. And this is at The Real John Lyons, J-O-N. So I'd like to begin there, John. I almost want to sort of kind of like, I don't want to do this to play sports radio, but I kind of want to hear from yourself.
You do play a sports radio guy on TV,
right?
I did.
You know, funny thing is, 5 years ago, I did a spot not to play, hey, let's do your IMDb, Fitzy. 5 years ago, I played a sports radio sports anchor on, do you remember that show, The Real OG?
Vaguely. Like, I know the title.
With Tracy Jordan.
Yeah, like, I've heard of it.
Tracy Jordan, for God's sakes. That's the character he played on 30 Rock. Yeah, anyway, that no one cares. Yes, but I have to play the part, and on occasion I actually play the part as well. But I'd like to ask this question. You have to take that slight, Tracy Morgan, thank you very much. You have to take that slightly sort of like, all right, let's get the negative out right now. I believe it was you who said what happened yesterday in Boston. There was a very special Celtics appearance in the neighborhood.
Yes, Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish. Shout out Rick Pitino. They did walk through that door at the Dick's House of Sport in Boston. I haven't been there, Fitzy.
How great was that? That looked amazing.
It looked amazing. It really did. And to get Larry Bird back in Boston, pretty special. I mean, he's a guy who kind of sticks to himself in Indiana.
Yeah.
Get him back here is pretty cool.
Well, it's funny. Bird has been kind of popping his spot a little bit lately because he did the Allstate commercials.
Yeah. And he did meet with Tatum at the All-Star game.
That's
and
right.
I know the All-Star game is in Indiana.
Sure.
I get it. But he went.
Right.
With, yeah.
He'll probably go check out a couple of Caitlin Clark games sometime. Maybe we'll see Larry Bird rocking a Caitlin Clark jersey. Maybe we'll see Caitlin Clark rocking an Indiana State 30 Bird jersey.
I'm just glad there is a new fever to replace Zappy fever.
I thank God. We needed a new fever.
Clark
if anything else, the agenda was clearly set for 2024.
Yeah.
We needed a new fever. Zappy fever out. Yeah. Indiana fever.
It's a better fever, better athlete, you know, just more all around.
The joy on the faces of Celtics fans yesterday at the Dick's House of Sporting Goods here in Boston at the meet and greet with the chief, who many have said may have been of an elevated state of mind per usual, and that's a beautiful thing. Kevin McHale, who deserved a championship ring for those 2008 Celtics as well. And, of course, we cannot forget Larry Bird. Anytime Larry Bird is in Boston or anywhere near the garden, the energy changes. I imagine he'll be there today. If they point him out, if they shout him out, if he does anything pregame, my God, the place is going to erupt. And I hate to be that guy, but, John, I have to sort of frame it this way. Let me ask you this question, and I would love to hear from the audience as well. Tell me how and why the Celtics shouldn't sweep the Miami Heat in this round one matchup. Now, the Heat lose 105-104 in the play-in game to the Sixers, and now they have a hobbled Joel Embiid, so that kind of all but dooms the Sixers, basically, against the Knickerbockers. In that game, Jimmy Butler, one of the great public enemies of all Boston sports fandom, let alone Celtics fandom, Jimmy Buckets strains his MCL, likely to miss the postseason, however long the Heat would pursue their postseason run, pretty much all but certain to miss this entire series.
So, look.
How in the world could the Celtics not even just sweep this team? And I know last year we had a face full of cake when ESPN said in the Eastern Conference Finals the Celtics had a 97% chance to win the series, and they blew it. But come on. Come on.
Yeah, Fitzy, I'm picking the Celtics in three.
That's attaboy.
Look,
that's the kind of bold talk and takes I need.
So here's the thing, and I think at max this goes five games. And I think if it goes more than five games, that's a little bit of an issue with the Celtics as opposed to the Heat. Here's the thing about the Heat, though, right?
Well, like that Hawks series that went six and kind of gave everyone a
little bit. I think it's really relevant
a...
you bring that up because Tatum mentioned that. I think it was about a month. It was probably my favorite thing Tatum said all year. It was probably a month or so ago. He was talking post-game, and he said, hey, last year we were just so focused on getting back to the finals, we kind of skipped some steps along the way. And he referenced that Atlanta series, and he was like, yeah, Atlanta, we went to six games, and he kind of caught himself because what he wanted to say was, yeah, we should have swept those dudes. He caught himself, and he's like, yeah, we went to, but you could tell he understood, like, hey, we played with our food, and it cost us against Atlanta, it cost us against Philly, and it all came to roost against Miami. The thing about Miami is, look, they have Spoelstra, who's the best coach in the NBA. Tyler Hero has looked really good as of late. They are 13-9 this year without Jimmy Butler. So they have a winning record without him. But what I found really interesting, so they're 13-9 without Butler, but this next part sounds weird. In 1,900 minutes without Butler, they're a minus 71. So they're a minus 71, but somehow have a winning record without the guy, which I feel like is the most Heat thing ever. That's the only one. Like, I could see if Hero has one of those games, game three or game four, or let's say Jimmy Butler just magically comes back.
Magically
in game
gets on the Paul Pierce.
Yeah.
Wheelchair.
Paul Pierce's wheelchair down in Miami.
Comes in magically in game four.
Yeah, that's the only way I see them winning a game. Like, because again, let's not forget in the bubble, Hero had that one game. I think he scored 47 points. One of those
games.
Yeah, he
went off. And don't forget, you know, I'm sure Jason Tatum will never forget getting faced by Bam Adebayo at the rim for the win for the Heat as well.
I still have nightmares about that. But yeah, that's the only way I could see them stealing a game. Like, I don't see them winning games one or two. Maybe one of game three or four, they win. And you know how the NBA is sometimes, you know, team goes on the road up 2-0 and they just always find a way to lose game
three. Oh my gosh, is that Scott Foster's music?
Yeah, hey, I didn't know Tony Brothers and Scott Foster were referring this game together. But yeah, and that's more of a shot at Scott Foster. Tony Brothers is okay. But point being, that's the only way, though. Like, to me, it has to be something like Butler comes back early, Hero goes off, Spoelstra has some galaxy brain chess game where he wins game three or game four on his own. Otherwise, the Celtics, to me, are just so much better than this Heat team that if they go more than five games, to me, that's more of a concern about the Celtics than anything else.
Yeah, and I like the fact that Tatum acknowledged that they were looking past the Hawks last year, took their foot emotionally, metaphorically, and at times it seemed literally off the gas and lost to a team that they should have swept easy, 1-5 at most. That team actually was healthier and I felt was a bit more dangerous than this Miami Heat. Now, again, here's a Boston Celtics fan saying, oh, I'm not worried about this Miami Heat team. We should be looking past. You can't. Like you said, Hero could go off at any point. Much respect to Adebayo, who's got a great overall game. He's tough. He's got the size. Spoelstra, somehow, after now almost 15 years as a head coach in the NBA, continues to be maybe the most underrated coach in the entire NBA, if not all four major professional North American sports. So they'll be game. They'll be tough. They'll put forth, and they still have Caleb Martin. They'll make you earn. They still have Caleb Martin, who's one of the two jerseys that haunts Celtics fans as well from last year's postseason. Like, dude averaged like 5 points all season along.
He put Jaylen Brown and the entire Celtics inside a fryer later, just cooked him last year in the Eastern Conference Finals.
But I feel like Tatum is focused, and I feel like Jaylen Brown has been especially focused. Like, all season long, he's been talking about the misgivings, the oversights, the missed opportunities. I feel like he has been dialed in from game, whether or not he had, you know, $60 million a season type of guy, max player games every night, that's not the point. I feel like he has just been so focused on making amends for the missed opportunities all the way back to the 2022 series against the Warriors and especially through last year. And like you said at the top, the overhaul that this team and this roster have gone through, this is about as complete a team, save for maybe the Denver Nuggets, which is why I feel like the two teams who had two great regular season matchups as well are on a collision course. And if you look at the Eastern Conference, which we can do when we come back in just a minute after we catch you up on trending sports news, you know, the path is there. I just hope it doesn't go down the 2019 Bruins road where it's like, oh, you got a clear path to the finals. Don't get back there and blow it again. But yes, it does start today, 1 o'clock at the TD Garden. The one seed Celtics, the best team in the NBA this season, regular or not, by far, against the Miami Heat, who have the Celtics number and always love to be a thorn in our postseason and duck boat side. Can they give the Celtics a series? Is there any reason why you, the Celtics fans out there, do not have supreme confidence in the Celtics just running roughshod all over the Heat and getting to the conference semifinals? 617-779-7937. But now, here's all of your latest trending sports news with the one and only.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
John Lyons.
You're listening to Fitzy and Lyons on WEEI.
Coming up on 11:22 on a lovely spring Sunday morning here in the fair Commonwealth. It's Fitzy and Lyons on Boston Sports Original 93.7. You can join the sports talk party at any point up until 12:35 p.m. That's when we get into the Red Sox pregame show and Sox Buccos. Sox going for the sweep hereafter today at PNC Park at 1:35 p.m. today. But you can join us 617-779-7937 as we open up talking Celtics tip-off from the Garden 2.0, coming at you shortly after 1 p.m. with a broadcast today on the American Broadcasting Company, I do believe.
Yeah, get the 1 p.m. ABC game. That's when you know you're good. They give you the Sunday afternoon game one. That's when you know you're
do
good.
Do we have Bang on the call?
I hope so.
I hope we have.
Yeah, he was some. Oh, where was he?
Bang and Burke?
Yeah, he was somewhere last night. Mike Breen, my guy, though.
He's everywhere.
You know, can I just say right now, though? Mm-hmm. And I know this will never happen because money. If the Celtics make the NBA Finals, they should let Mike Gorman do a game. ABC should let Mike Gorman do a game.
Oh, that would be wild,
43 years team broad. I mean, you got to let Mike Gorman.
Would you tune into a watch along if let's say he and Scal went to the Gorman residence?
Yeah, I would. Like if they did like
and
Sunday
kind of Manning
night,
casted it or something like
Sunday
that.
Sunday night game two watch along of the NBA Finals. Like yeah, I would. Watch
we've kind of taken a big hit recently with our broadcast. I mean, losing Jack Edwards and Mike Gorman, say what you will about Jack Edwards, but
the man's
been around for forever. Yeah. He's a staple of Bruins coverage, play by the hyperbole.
I'm still recovering from Don Orsillo leaving.
Bob Soucy and I are personal friends, and I think the man is terrific at his job. I'm still not over Gil Santos.
Oh, man. Gil Santos.
Man was an absolute legend.
Yeah.
Soucy's done a great job. Stepping in for Gil, obviously, and you know it's impossible. You know Dave O'Brien has an impossible job. He's Dave O'Brien. He's big. He's bombastic. He's blustery. He's just not Don Orsillo.
Yeah,
you'll never be able to. And I think Obi does a great job. Some of his radio calls back when he used to be on with the EI are the stuff of absolute legend. But you just can't be Orsillo and Remy.
Yeah,
and so now the Celtics, you lose Mike Gorman. I mean, that's almost like an entirely. Like, I'm not prepared. I've had to deal with way too much loss in this life already, and I don't deal with it very well, even though I know it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be. It is a part of the game. But, you know, I'm not ready for a life after Castigs, no matter how great everybody, you know, from Bradfoe to Fleming to Marloni and beyond all sound together. Hell, even Rich Keefe did a couple of games last year, and he did a bad
job. I was
in
for one of them in August. I did pre- and post-game.
Whoa, look at you.
Yeah, he did a great job. He was tremendous.
Had a great time. He actually was mad that he didn't get a call to audition for the Celtics.
Yeah. And
he should have.
Speaking of that, Grandy and Max can't go anywhere. They're like the last line of defense of broadcasters from my youth, so they can't go anywhere.
We don't do change very well here in New England, so the less change, the better. Any text you care to share?
Actually, it's funny. One guy read my mind. Texter from the 781 said, I'm not over Troop. Way back.
way back. Yeah. Way back.
I remember he used to, and this is nothing against Drew. I love, but he would say that, and they'd be like, okay, and it's caught in left field. Right. Like, oh, okay.
Like, it's one thing when Christian Fourier does a promotional stunt and calls a game in spring training and then says, that's a long drive. And, damn it, it's caught.
By the shortstop.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Geez, even John Sterling had to retire all
nuts.
Of a sudden.
Yeah.
I know he's been battling some health woes.
But how about ESPN? Like, you mentioned Mike Breen and Doris, and I love Doris, but, like, they had a great thing going with Van Gundy and Jackson alongside Breen.
I don't know why they changed. Why did that?
2 months of Doc Rivers? Like, yeah. That was a mistake. And they could have had Doris be part of that team.
Yeah.
Like, they could have found a way to work
And if Tatum has a game today, they may want to turn up the AC in the garden because Doris Burke loves her some Jason Tatum.
Yes, and Jeff Van Gundy will be there working for the Celtics.
I always enjoyed the Van Gundy dynamic.
He was great. I thought
the Jackson, Breen, and Van Gundy team was terrific. And, shout out to the Dale Arnolds and all the hockey heads and, of course, our friends on Sunday Skate who did a great job today. All the puck heads, if you will. That's okay to say, Nico. Don't worry. You don't have to reach for
I
that
think
special
everybody
button.
On Sunday Skate this morning agreed completely on the goalie situation and the rotation. There was no arguments there. No disagreement.
Swayman was money this year against Toronto and he did an awesome job.
If you go back and listen, you will hear no disagreement at all.
Yes, and that's why there will not be a lot of hockey talk on our program today because we gave you not one but two full hours of Bruins coverage analysis and more earlier today on Sunday Skate. But I would dare say, and we'll get back to the Celtics Heat series in a second here, but I would dare say that in the post Mike Emmerich, Doc Emmerich era, Mike Breen is probably would you say Mike Breen? Let's look overall, like Tirico on Sunday Night Football,
Jim Nance on Sunday Night Football.
Now we've got snoozy Al Michaels disinterested in collecting checks and having 8-minute ribeyes at halftime on Amazon. Who would you say right now is currently the best at their job on the national play-by-play scene?
I think it's Mike Breen. Yeah, I think he's and Joe Buck on Monday Night Football, I love. My only problem with Joe Buck is he doesn't do deep in the playoffs anymore. And no more baseball. Joe Buck on baseball.
I know.
Phenomenal.
They're going to bring him in on some golf coverage this year, which is great, but I miss him doing baseball. That's his true love. That's where his dad came from.
I would watch
at the ballpark.
A baseball game without the Red Sox if Joe Buck was a calling. Like, he's phenomenal as and I wish with the NFL, like, if ABC does a Super Bowl, like, he would get it, but ABC doesn't do a Super Bowl right now. Eventually, it seems like they're going to get one, but him in big games is elite. So I'd put Joe Buck 1, Mike Breen 2.
There we go. Texter in the 401, 100% on board with Gorman calling a game on a national broadcast.
Yeah. Even if they gave him a quarter, give him a half, give me
just
something.
Bring him in for one quarter if the Celtics were to make the finals, and I think we both believe that they will.
43 years. Let the man have a quarter. Let him have a game, but at least let him have a quarter.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
I think that
this isn't any Joe Schmo retiring. Like, it's Mike Gorman.
Right. That would be extra special. But first, the Celtics need to get there well. Also, full well, the Celtics need to make it all the way back to the finals. I would also just sort of like to throw names into the best at their job right now hat. I think Joe Davis, young broadcasting talent for Fox, I think he does an outstanding job.
As much as I love Joe Buck, credit Joe Davis.
Especially during baseball, I think he's a great voice for baseball. And I still think Tirico has good fastball on Sunday nights. I think Collinsworth is definitely in the Max Kellerman falling off a cliff portion of his broadcast career. He's not what he once was.
I think he misses Al Michaels.
I think he does too. Yeah. He should just have shipped over to Amazon, and Tirico should get a new broadcast partner.
Now here's a guy. Speaking of other people great at their jobs, me, you, and Nico.
Yes.
Yeah.
Terrific people.
In case Ken's listening.
Should be in on the regular all the time.
Yeah.
Put us on from 6A to 6P every day here on Boston Sports Original. 93.7.
All gas, no brakes.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, so let me ask you, would it be a disappointment? I think the Celtics are going to sweep. I think there's every reason, and we can go over some of the stats. I know you're not concerned, but you believe Tyler Hero could go off for a 30-plus point night. There is no Jimmy Butler. Terry Rozier may come back in the middle of the series, and he could be scary, Terry. He could heat check his way to a 30-point night out of nowhere. He could also attempt 19 shots and score 11 points. You've got Kevin Love averaging 9 points a game. And like you said, when we were talking about all this during the break, like, if you're closer to AARP than you are NCAA when you play in the NBA and you have more gray hairs than not, should you really be striking fear in the hearts of an opposing team, especially one that won 64 games?
Yeah, and I'm not trying to be ageist here, but if you've got a bunch of gray hairs playing in the NBA, you should not be the reason your team wins a playoff series.
As a 50-year-old who acts 30, I don't care about ageism.
You know, you can still contribute, but if you're the reason, like, hey, man, LeBron's 39. He doesn't have no gray hairs, all right?
Mm-hmm.
He's out there balling, okay?
I have a feeling he's got enough money to make it look like he'll never have
a gray
hair.
Yeah, he goes to see Dr. Robert Leonard. I need to see Dr. Robert Leonard, actually.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's why I wear a hat all the time.
Ah, okay. Yeah, see, if you need some lettuce, Leonard, I've got way too much if you need to borrow some.
If you Robert Leonard, if you're listening, just, you know.
Adebayo on the season, and like we said, he plays the Celtics extremely well, although now the Celtics, with a well-rested Al Horford, with a healthy Kristaps Porzingis, do have the size, plus, of course, Tatum and Brown, do have the size to be able to throw at him so as to not wonder.
And I think Porzingis, to me, is a huge, like, what did the Celtics struggle with a ton the last couple times they faced the Heat? Even when they beat him a couple years ago, when the Heat went
zone defense.
Right, and Porzingis, to me, he's a guy, when they traded for Porzingis, so let's just look at his last full season outside of Boston.
Okay.
He led the NBA in points per post-up, and he shot 38.5% from three. Right now, and then this year, we've seen that. Right? The numbers aren't identical, but we've largely seen that this year when they've used him. That's a guy, to me, that when the Heat goes zone, they should be able to handle that. And the Celtics this year, what was the huge, to me, arguably the biggest reason they lost Game 7 to Miami? They kept turning the ball over. I mean, how many times did Jaylen Brown dribble off his leg?
Biggest reason they lost the game was because 38 seconds into the game, Jason Tatum stepped on someone's foot and rolled his ankle, and like all the air was just sucked en masse out of the garden, making Derek White's Derek White's legendary play from Game 6, the Game 6 saver down in Miami. Yeah. A moot point. John, question here on the text line for us at 37937. Do you believe the Celtics' defense is playoff ready?
I do, and I think, look, you have the best backcourt in the NBA defensively, right? Derek White's the best shot-blocking guard in the NBA. Jrue Holiday can match up against a bunch of different people. Like, the Celtics' defensive rating, it's actually close to the Heat, but defensive rating, offensive rating, net rating, Celtics are the only team in the league top three in all three. This is the most complete team in the league. I think they can outscore the Heat, but to the question, like, defensively, yeah, I do think they're ready. I think Porzingis is a really good defender. Tatum this year, I think, he's always been a good defender, but I think he has gotten better and better as a defender over the course of this year. And he's been willing to take matchups. Remember a couple of years ago, he said, put me on Durant in that playoffs? He did a great job.
Oh, when they swept. Now, see, that's what that was a comp that we were talking about during the break as well. The Nets-Celtics series from 2 years ago, which actually had me thinking this could go seven because you've got Kyrie coming back for revenge after stomping on Lucky.
That series.
Durant. He is the mentor to the apprentice of Jason Tatum as well.
They smoked the Celtics the year before in the playoffs.
They sure did. And sure enough, Celtics sweep. That series, speaking of like emotional moments where you know like things have turned or the pivot has happened, we thought it was going to change for the better last year. Like Derek White, you know, the call comes in from the mayor at 11:50, from the governor at 11:59. We get a stay of execution, and then Tatum rolls his ankle. That was just not meant to be. There are just those certain pivotal moments, like when Tatum made the layup from Smart past Kyrie in Game 1, which was on Easter Sunday 2 years ago. You kind of knew, like, oh, they just won the series. That's over. You can play it out, but the Celtics had won that one. I don't, and you had said there was way more talent on that team, and the Celtics swept that team. So, again,
Kyrie had the 39-point game, I think, in Game 1. Durant had a 39-point game in Game 4. And other than that, nothing. And that was a weird sweep.
They were better,
too.
And this is a better version of the Celtics.
Like, they were all close games, but the Celtics, that was actually an example of something they've struggled with the last 2 years.
Yep.
Every time it was crunch time, they out-executed the Nets in that series. Whereas now, I just think they're flat out better than Miami.
Okay, bigger benefit to the Celtics, both against the Heat and in the long run in this postseason. The addition of Jrue Holiday, the addition of Porzingis, or the general health of general health and load management of Horford, White, Tatum, and Brown. Like you're save for having the, you know, the Green Hornet, aka as Keith calls him, the Murder Hornet, that he's out for today. Celtics are healthy. The Celtics, Missoula's plan, the team wide plan, whoever hatched it, of resting these guys intermittently so that they're fresh as lettuce for the postseason worked. And so all the criticisms that we had, oh, I can't believe they took that game off. How did they lose to Atlanta? Whatever. It's all in the rear view now. It's in, as they, as Missoula likes to say, quoting from the movie he watches like 10 times a week, all those thoughts and misgivings of the season are in our rear view.
Yeah.
Like it is now, we are laser focused on June, but you have to start with the Heat. What do you think is the biggest difference?
To me, it's Porzingis. It, just because they've never had a guy like this. Like I mentioned, the post-up as well as the three-point shooting numbers, how good a defender he is. Like they have never, and I'm not telling you he's the best player on the team or the best player, but just that unique set of skills. they have never had a guy like that, at least with this core. So, and I think Drew Holiday is a huge addition. I think the continued ascendance of Derek White is really important. I think Sam Cassell and Charles Lee on that coaching staff are really – like, now you have a guy on the coaching staff, and Sam Cassell has won a championship. Charles Lee's won a championship. Drew Holiday's won a – now you have guys on that team that have won a championship. But I think the health thing, it does matter. Like, you mentioned Tatum's ankle last year. Robert Williams in the 2022 finals, not fully healthy. I think that made a big – Tatum ran out of gas because Udoka had to play him 1,000 minutes every night because they didn't have a deep bench. Like, I think that matters too. But to me, it's Porzingis. Like, they just haven't had a guy like that. The Heat zone, I think he can break that zone, which they haven't had a guy that can do that. And you look going forward in the playoffs, when you need a guy that can hit threes but also defend Giannis in the post later on, like – Porzingis can do that. Not a lot of guys can do that. And I'm really, if they do get to that point, I'd be fascinated to see how Missoula defends a guy like Giannis. But because I think they put Drew Holiday on him at some points earlier this season. Mm-hmm. But point being, like, Porzingis, to me, that's the guy that he changes the equation for them. Like, you swapped out Marcus Smart, Malcolm Brogdon, Robert Williams. You have Porzingis. That's a different equation now.
Oh, it's a Porzingis wildly different team.
Yeah.
The Celtics can do, correct me if I'm, I mean, this is just sort of my opinion, but it almost feels factual. The Celtics can do a little bit of everything and do everything extremely well.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're one of the best shooting teams.
Like you said,
in
top
the NBA.
Three and all the important
metrics. Exactly. They're a great defensive team. Mm-hmm. They're one of the best shooting teams. And another thing that stood out to me this year, because this, I think, was a huge problem for them in the postseason last year, was a huge problem for them against Golden State. They have the fewest turnovers per game in the NBA this year, 11.3 per game. Whereas, I mean, think that killed him against Golden State, killed him against my. So if they're not going to turn the basketball over and they're going to hit shots, it's really difficult to beat them.
What about the magic number of 40%, if the Celtics shoot 40% or better from three? I know that was the big number last season as well. Doesn't seem to have mattered as much this year, but that's because there's more diversity in their offensive
attack. Well, I felt like last year they had to shoot 40%. If they were going to win consistently and win a playoff series, they had to shoot 40% from three. Now they can have a bad shooting night, and with Porzingis in the post, they can still win. Whereas last year, I don't think that was the case last year.
So Miami, let's say Miami has a defensive game plan that even we couldn't think of, because we all agree Spoelstra, tremendous coach, somehow still underrated, break down an absolute film, and you know, the former video assistant turned multiple head NBA Finals winning head coach. Let's say he's got something up his lack of sleeves, his very well tanned arms. For the Celtics, I just sort of feel like you don't have to lean on, like, we're not going to, you know, see Tatum dribbling the ball 23 times by himself and foisting a bad three. You're not going to see Jaylen Brown force it and then end up dribbling the ball off his foot, because there is just so much more the team can do. And I agree with you. I think the addition of Porzingis, as great as Drew Holiday is, money well spent, making sure he finishes his career with the Celtics. Dude's going to be on Team USA this summer, which I can't wait for as well. Porzingis, the unicorn, adds layers and layers of difference. John, we've had a lot to say about it. We've got much more to say about the Celtics, but let's welcome in you, the good people of Celtics Nation and WEEI, here at 617-779-7937. Ralph and Cranston with a very good point that I would like to see the Celtics address as well. Hi, Ralph.
Hey, guys. You know, look, they're going to beat Miami. It's not going to take either. Miami has a shot at maybe winning one game. But this is all going to be based on mental toughness, unless they shoot 50% from threes. Now, this team, the last couple of years we saw them, I don't think they were mentally tough enough, but this is it. And there can be no excuses to this. But, guys, I don't think Tatum is ever going to be that Larry Bird type. He's a great scorer, one of the greatest scorers they've had. I don't think he's ever going to be the guy who wants to take that last shot. He doesn't have it in him. He's a, like, everything is beautiful kind of guy. He makes a ton of money, that big smile. Yeah, that's great. But he's never going to want to take that last shot. He doesn't want to do it. He's not that. He's not made up like a Bird or someone like that. And that's why they've got to have a good all-around game, play tough defense, but play real, real tough. If they're not mentally tough, a team like Milwaukee will beat them.
All right, Ralph, thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game today.
Yeah, and I think, look, it's a fair point, and I think that's the biggest concern. But a lot of what he just said, and I'm not saying it's not true, you could have said about Denver last year, right? And Denver proved it. Now, the Celtics have to prove it. That's the issue. Like, and you mentioned, you know, Tatum dribbling it 23 times. Like, I think the Celtics, to me, that they're, I would be shocked if that's what they go to in crunch time. Like, I know they did it in the regular season, but They have so many options, to your earlier point, that they should not be having Tatum have to take the last shot every time.
No.
Like, one of the good things, remember when they lost back-to-back games in Atlanta? You know, they were down.
Sure do.
Yeah, well, trust me, we got very angry calls.
Playing with your food portion of the season that was...
So there was one positive thing, though, I did take out of those two games, and it was in the second game, Jaylen Brown hit the go-ahead shot at the end of the game, I think in overtime. It's just the Hawks came down and hit one with 1 second left after, but they had someone else besides Tatum hit a big shot, which I think is huge for them.
Are you worried that Joe Mazzulla could be a factor going the wrong way for the Celtics?
I mean, so I would put him, to the caller's point, in the same boat with some of the other guys in that they do have to. Even a guy like Porzingis, he's been amazing. I'd give him a hug if he walked in this room right now, but have we seen him play?
He's tough to do. He's really tall.
That's true. I'd probably have to get on a stepladder, but have we seen him play in the conference finals before? Have we seen him play NBA finals?
He's one of those classic definitions of, like, the guy who languished elsewhere and finally gets a taste of postseason. You don't know what he might be like. He may explode. He may go off for 35 today and be like, he's just been waiting to shoot that shot. All that. I don't think at the moment's going to be too big for him at all, because he's got such an easy demeanor.
But we do have to see it. And the funny thing about Tatum, when people talk about, like, clutch and this, he's had some amazing clutch, like 46 in Milwaukee in Game 6 a couple years ago. The end of Game 6 against Philly last year, 50 in Game 7. He's had some amazing clutch performances, but it's that last 30 seconds of the game, he's got to take the shot. It's not that he can't hit it, but I'd have more confidence if they move the... Now, if he's wide open, fine. But I'd have more confidence if they just move the ball around.
Now, didn't Tatum score in the high 40s against Philadelphia in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Semis last year?
51,
okay. Yeah. That was another one. It was 50. Yeah, Game 7.
And at the end of Game 6, he dominated when they were about to lose in six games.
That's right. Because I remember I took my wife on Mother's Day to see the Steve Martin and Martin Short show down at Foxwoods. And so I had to keep track of the second half of the game on my phone, and I was very comfortable. The Celtics had a very comfortable lead because Tatum was playing his ass off. And I just remember we were about two-thirds of the way through the show, and when the game was over, and I'm still watching this show with thousands of people in this auditorium, somebody just randomly yelled out when the game was over, "Celtics won," and then the entire crowd started applauding.
There you go.
And the acts on stage were like, "Oh, good." There's Steve Martin and Martin Short going, "Oh, good, the Celtics won."
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. That's great and all. I agree. I think the strength of the bench as well, with all the coaches they've added, any sort of Mazzulla-isms, if you will, that you could be afraid of happening, I think the brain trust that they've helped establish there, they've made him a better coach. They'll also hopefully get in the way of any whiffs and bad decisions. And I mentioned it earlier as well. I think it's beyond just having everybody healthy. Last year, Al Horford was a husk of a human because they had Time Lord only played 43 games.
Yeah.
He played the whole season. He was wiped by the time they got to the postseason. He was a shell of himself by the time that they played Miami. He's rested now. He's rested. Everyone else is rested. It's all come together. I won't be disappointed if it goes five, but I am expecting the sweep. And when you look at the way that the finals could possibly break down, they would face the winner of the Cavs Magic to set up a possible conference finals against either the Knickerbockers, the Bucks, or the Pacers, and we'll see how healthy Giannis is or isn't and how Dame Time plays in his first playoff series with Milwaukee. But it's setting up, and it's looking pretty good, Celtics fans, so there you have it. All right,
we just did 43 minutes of sports radio, Fitzy, and it was largely positive.
That might be
a new Boston record.
This could be, and you know what?
You know what that means.
They're going to lose. They're going to get their asses handed to them. And the Celtics go down in one of the most shocking first-round defeats.
See, there's some negative. There we go.
We're saying that in jest because we know it's not going to happen. All right, let's keep the positivity rolling. When we come back, it is NFL Draft Week. Ladies and gentlemen, just 4 days, 8 hours, and 16 minutes to go until the commissioner steps to the podium and gets his footballs booed off in the Motor City. The Patriots, shortly thereafter, will be on the clock. What will they do? Johnny and I will give you our final takes on that, as well as a new job for Matthew Slater. How do we feel about one of the greatest Patriots of all time sticking around and advising the new head coach? We'll get to all that when Fitzy and Lyons returns here on EEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter.
Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back to Fitzy and Lyons on WEEI.
The Patriots at number three. How are they now approaching their quarterback situation?
Well, they feel like they're in a great spot. Certainly, they're prepared to take a quarterback here. They have a high grade on Jaden Daniels. If he's available at three, I think they would probably pounce on that. And Drake May, too, they're high on. Yeah. So the feeling around the league right now is that Drake May would be that pick at number three. They are open for business, as de facto GM Elliott Wolf said, but I'm told they haven't gotten an offer yet that would wow them or would move them off that pick. They know they need a quarterback in the worst way long term, so they'll probably stay put.
Oh, it will be a very good day if the New England Patriots find their quarterback of the future in the upcoming NFL draft, which, as we've said many a times, is just but over 4 days away. Yes, people, the relentless questioning, the doubt, the wondering, the hemming, the hawing, the mock drafting, the overanalyzing, sweet, sassy, molassy John Lyons, it all comes to a head and an end game this Thursday night and or possibly Friday when they have rounds 2 and 3 from the Motor City, and Saturday they'll have rounds 4 through 7 and finish up, dare I say, the most hyped, publicized, scrutinized NFL draft in my mind to date. And that was Jeremy Fowler from ESPN earlier as we came in from the break here on Fitzy and Lyons on EEI, talking on SportsCenter the other day with Gary Strusky about what he believes will happen. Where are you right now with the Drake May critics versus the Jaden Daniels camp, saying that they're not happy with the way the Commanders have gone about their offseason and their recruiting or scouting of the quarterbacks? Jaden Daniels camp saying that that's a dysfunctional organization. They weren't happy about the fact that he met with several other quarterbacks and didn't get his own top 30, if you will, with them. Are the Commanders going to foul up Andy Hart's entire hashtag take Drake plan and take Drake himself at two, leaving the Patriots with a question, do we love Jaden Daniels enough? Or are we just overthinking this because it's paralysis by analysis?
So how does the saying go? You can take Dan Snyder out of the Commanders, but you can't take the
Washington out of the Commanders. So,
It's kind of, they had that like weird group visit with all the, like, what are you doing?
And they all went to Topgolf?
Yeah, like, what are
you
doing?
What kind of corporate hive mind bonding BS nonsense was that?
Like, what are you doing? Like, this is like the most important decision your new ownership group's going to make.
Yeah, we had Brian Baldinger on the Six Rings podcast the other day. And he was talking about how weird stuff like that is. Yeah. Like, he just likes a good old-fashioned, like, watch the tape, then sit down and run through stuff with a kid and get a feel for his feel for the game, his heart, his will. And he two quarterbacks he loves. It's a great podcast. If you get a chance, if you don't already subscribe, Six Rings and Football Things on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your awesome podcasts. Baldinger loves Caleb Williams. Said that kid, go ahead and doubt how smart he is, how much he loves football, just because he does things differently or has a weird colored iPhone or paints his nails or whatever. He said that kid is an absolute stud. But the other thing he pointed out was, Baldinger had a great point. Everyone is always in on panics like, oh, what about the knees? What about the shoulder? Oh, he had all those injuries in Indiana. Didn't miss any games in 2 years in Washington.
Yep.
Played with a kind of new coach who established himself quite nicely, so much so that he got the job at Alabama when Saban left, and everyone was ready to transfer. And Michael Penix Jr., who I love and I kind of wish the Patriots would trade back, I'll admit I'm always the lone resident of unpopular take island. I love the trade back plan because I love Penix. He convinced Jalen Polk, Jalen McMillan, and Roma Dunze to stay. He said, let's change the culture here. Let's do this. And in 2 years, they became a force in the Pac-12, a force in the national scene, all the way up to the national championship against a Michigan team that was full of nothing but pro prospects.
They beat Texas, though.
Yeah, they did.
Look, here's my only concern with Michael Penix, and I agree with you. He's healthier.
He's a winner.
He's healthier than people give him credit
for.
He's a great passer, by the way. Ugh, like, as a pure, just like.
Slangs it.
But here's my concern.
Okay.
Okay.
It makes Mike Onwenu your new left tackle.
I love Mike Onwenu might be the best sixth round pick for Michigan the Patriots have ever had. I don't know if you could think of anyone
Save
else.
That clip,
but,
Nico. Thank you.
I don't know if you could, you know, think of anyone else. He had the Joe Moore Award winning offensive line. So the best offensive line in college football. Arguably the best trio of receivers in college football.
Even better maybe coach, than Jaden Daniels had down with Brian Thomas.
As a trio, those three guys. In the top two, top three, them in Ohio State as well. His head coach was so good, he got picked to replace Nick Saban.
Yeah.
His offensive coordinator was so good, he's now the OC with the Seahawks. So a lot of these things I'm saying are very similar things that we said about Mac Jones. Of all this greatness around him. And look, I think he's better than Mac Jones. I'm not trying to put him in that class. But my only concern is, yes, he got guys to stick around, but did he really elevate anyone there? Like, he was phenomenal.
He elevated the whole team.
Was he elevating them, or was he part of an elite enterprise there? And it's, you could say a similar thing about J.J. McCarthy. He was part of an elite enterprise. And I think Penix probably did a little more elevating than McCarthy, but that's my only... I like Penix. Mm-hmm. If they walked away from this draft with a trade down in Penix, I'd be happy. It's just, he's a guy... Like, Daniels, he had... Similar, he had two great receivers at LSU. He had Brian Kelly.
50 overall touchdowns in the SEC as
well. But he had to play in the SEC, exactly, right? So that's my only thing with Penix is, was his cast so good that we saw a little bit, even maybe more than he'll be capable of in the NFL?
Two showdowns against a stacked Oregon team
and
as
he won
well.
Both. And Bone,
you know, won both of those games as well. Beat Texas through
was phenomenal. That Texas game, he was unreal.
I would probably say that was the most entertaining of all the playoff games.
And that was probably the single best quarterback performance of the college football season.
Okay, well then if you see that and it's on a national stage, and I know Big 12 defenses are nothing to write home about, whether you write home electronically or by hand. If you see that, just like a couple of years ago, we saw that Justin Fields deserved to be a first round draft pick because he absolutely annihilated Clemson on New Year's Day. And then last year, we saw C.J. Stroud on New Year's Eve deserve to go to the National Football Championship and have his kicker, you know, crap the bed at midnight.
Right at midnight.
Yeah, right, literally right, right as the bell struck. Hell of a way to start the new year.
Yeah.
Then are we ignoring something with how good we saw him look? Well, what about the medicals? You saw the leap on his pro day. You've seen the way the guy can throw the ball.
Yeah. The medicals really don't concern me.
4.46, 40 out of your quarterback.
Yeah, because, and like you said, he's been really healthy the last two years. Like, the medicals don't concern. And again, I think he's worthy of a first-round pick.
Yeah,
I just, like, at three, that's where that supporting cast thing, and it's not his fault, and it's almost an unfair strike against him, but I think it is something that gives me 2%, 3% pause, as opposed to a Daniels or a May or a Williams.
Okay, between Daniels and May, however the scenario were to play out, you would prefer which drop to three?
So I like Daniels a little bit better, but I do like, and it's funny because I like Daniels a little bit better. I think he's a better
game marketability
throw.
Passing. What?
I don't care about marketability at all. Okay. I care about winning football games.
I
know, but best deep ball thrower probably in the class. Excellent athlete. I think he's a solid short area passer. He doesn't get enough credit for that. I do think though, I wonder if they like Drake May better. And I wonder if Drake May is a better fit for what they want to do with more intermediate passes, more stuff just kind of over the middle. I wonder if he's a little bit better. So I wonder, like, I like Daniels better. I wonder if they like May a little bit better. It's close, though.
Right. Yeah. So from what I've heard, and I'm not, you know, we're not having a source off, and I'm not making stuff up just to help pass the time till 12:35 when we pass the baton over to the Red Sox pregame show, is that Gerard Mayo is the biggest champion of all of the decision makers at one formerly Tom Brady place of Drake May. But there are other people in the building that have their sights set on other quarterbacks who we'll discuss on the other side as well, including Michigan's own J.J. McCarthy. To me, when you have the needs that you have, and we'll hear from Elliot Wolf, the Wolf of Ball Street, as we call him around here, in just a few minutes. He made his final statement on Thursday. When you have the needs that you have and you are a draft and develop team and somebody wants to present you with an offer, not Herschel Walker sized, but enough to help make a difference at the glaring needs that you have been overlooking for years, which is why the greatest head coach of all time is no longer here, you address them and still hope that you get the quarterback. But that's just me. Me, the host of the show here, Fitzy and Lyons, coming at you. We'll be right back in just a couple of minutes to wrap things up. We're going to go straight all the way through and just talk nothing but football, and we can't wait to do it with you. At 617-779-7937. Fitzy and Lyons on EEI.
What's the room again?
1240, down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right.
What? Please, if you
Dad,
could just...
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.